the Sandler rule, you have to learn to fail to win. This inversion thinking allows you to fail before you fail.
Welcome to Building Your Sales Engine. I'm your host, Mark McGraw.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Building Your Sales Engine. I'm your host, Mark McGraw. Hey, today I'm going to sit down with Mr. Josh Pitchford, part of our team. Awesome guy. And we're going to talk about a concept that helps us make sure that we stay on track to our goals for the coming year and really for the coming period, the coming quarter, whatever it might be that you're working towards. So as always, please do like and subscribe if you're getting value out of our podcast. Man, we so appreciate it. It helps us out a ton. And as always, shoot a note to us if there's something we can be of help to you and your sales world. Let's dive in. Mr. Josh Pitchford, welcome back to Building Your Sales Engine. So good to have you, as always, sir.
It's always fun to do these. I love chatting through them and seeing what we can do.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. All right. You know, if you're listening to this, when it's released, it's going to be the beginning of the year. And people are always going to be thinking about how do I make sure that I keep on track to my goals? Mm-hmm. And it's an issue that a lot of people face. It comes up, you know, we start the year with a lot of vim and vigor and enthusiasm. And before you know it, things come off the rails. So we wanted to talk a little bit today about an idea of called inversion thinking. And we'll dive into that. But do you run into the same thing when, you know, the beginning of the year? What do you see with your clients?
Same thing, right? We just wrapped up our goal setting series. And people love laying out a plan, especially the way you work them through a workshop of actually doing them. And then, you know, let's face the facts, then reality sets in. And I think what we're talking about today will help people put themselves into reality faster, such that they can then be ready for the things that come our way that have a tendency to throw us off at times. So looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah. So, and I think that's what happens is, as we go into the year with the best intentions and one thing leads to another. And so we should talk about the kinds of things, one of which is inversion thinking, that that enable us to stay on track. And there might be other things that we cover here together today. But I've used this concept throughout my life, and it's got a name to it. And the concept is called inversion thinking. And here's how this works. This is a great way to be able to make sure that you stick to a plan, because there's going to be potholes that come up that take us off course. So it's a three-step process. The first is, and we kind of touched on that, is go know what you want. Go figure out what your goal is. And so for this example, we could talk about somebody that wants to, let's say, add one new account, one new logo a month, every month in the coming year. So step one, go set out the goal. Step two, this is the crazy part to this. And I love this thinking, is what you do is you imagine it's the end of the year and you've not achieved the goal that you set out to go achieve.
You failed.
Okay. Yes. You failed at achieving the goal. Now, a lot of times when people talk about goals, they're like, yeah, visualize success and all this. So this completely flies in the face of that 100%. So you imagine that you've failed. And at step two, what you do is you list reasons why you failed. So, Josh, you know, you work with a ton of folks, as do I. What are some of the reasons why someone might not succeed at adding a new logo every single month?
They're not prospecting enough. The sales cycle is too slow. You know, if you're sitting there in January and it's a 90-day sales cycle and you don't have enough pipeline already, you're already behind the eight ball. You know, you just start listing out all those reasons that would keep you from, you know, hitting your goal, such that you're thinking then, okay, what do I do next? I love it. I'm already thinking. I jotted it down over here while you were talking. Is that the Sandler rule? You have to learn to fail to win. This inversion thinking allows you to fail before you fail. So, you know, if you really think about it, put yourself in that mindset of, okay, let me go ahead and pre-fail such that I can work through and say, what do I do to do that? And that's really step three.
There's a post-mortem.
There right? is.
And there's a postmortem. Now, this is a premortem.
Absolutely.
So before the train comes off the track, what caused the train to come off the track? And so some examples that you listed were someone's not prospecting enough. Their sales cycle is extended. It's too long.
So many things that go under there, right? Yeah. Getting to ultimate decision makers and getting clear next steps and, you know, all of those things that slow down a sales cycle. There's multiple subtopics there.
So if the person goes through step two and they say, let's pretend that it's the end of the period of time and that I didn't accomplish these things, what prevented me from accomplishing them? Third step of the process then becomes is to create prevention rules. These are guidelines or non-negotiable rules that you say, in this circumstance, I'm going to do X. And those things then prevent those items in step two from being a problem. And we need to break it down, but those are the three steps to this thing.
It really is. And the funny thing is, Mark, is that humans are wired for negative thinking. Mm. And it's protection mode. It kept us from getting eaten by saber-toothed tigers and things like that, right? And so there's a protection mode. So we're, you know, the negative side of things is usually easier to do. If you go through your goal setting and you think about, okay, what must be true for me to hit this goal? That's harder for people to do.
It is.
But if you think about what's going to keep me from hitting that goal, all of a sudden you're being more honest with yourself and it gets clearer faster, which then allows you to flip that over and say, okay, what are these prevention rules such that I can put myself, you know, to use the pain step is you're putting yourself in pain in the future so that you can then back that off and avoid, you know, to do what you need to do now to avoid pain in the future.
I think there's a good element. I'm not sure I invented this word, but I've used the word called pre-decide. And when you pre-decide something, what you're doing is you're taking the willpower out of play because you've already made the decision ahead of the moment in time. And you can apply that to a lot of things. Certainly sales, I applied it at one time to eating and weight loss.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. We were talking about Chick-fil-A just a minute ago. I pre-decided I was going to get the grilled nuggets, not the big old Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know what I mean? That's what I want, but I got to pre-decide to make a better choice.
And that's really the idea of pre-decide on that front. And that is if you're going to go into a restaurant, you know what's on the menu. Pre-decide what you're going to have, that you're going to have the healthiest option. You just did it right there. Mm-hmm. And that way, when you're in the moment, you're not subject to the stress that goes on for making the decision such that you might have a weak moment. Now we flip that over into the world of sales and say, okay, I'm going to pre-decide that I'm going to make this up. From 9 to 10 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm prospecting. Or that at the end of every meeting where someone says, hey, I appreciate your help, I'm going to ask for a referral or an introduction. You create triggers in your own mind that set you up for success, that prevent the obstacle or the failure that you came up with in step two to be able to help you anticipate what obstacles you're going to run into and then get them out of the way with these rules.
Sure. I mean, it comes down to, you know, I can think about it tactically in a pre-call plan, for instance. You know, you can go ahead and pre-decide that I'm going to leave here with a clear future. I'm going to get, you know, the Sandler rule, get yeses and nos and nothing in between. You can pre-decide that I'm going to call a no a no, but if it's a yes, I'm going to lead with a clear future commitment such that I don't have to do this and it's going to compress sales cycles. Time kills deals. Everybody out there has heard that forever. But the thing is are we doing the things to compress that such that I can hit my goal of one new logo a month? Or whatever it happens.
So let's even take an example and say, let's say someone was going to work on shortening their sales cycle. Mm-hmm. Let's brainstorm on what are the rules that we'd want to have in place? What are these prevention strategies that would help ensure that we're going to shorten the sales cycle over a period of time? Mm-hmm. You brought up one of them, and that is, hey, we've got to make sure that we're getting access to the decision maker. And so we got to ask. I mean, there's other techniques, obviously a lot more and better ones than that, but let's start there.
Right. And you got to have a mindset for doing it in their best interest. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, we've got to pre-decide going in, because in the moment, you know, we might wimp out and we might say, hey, I need to make a commitment, pre-decide, make a commitment to myself that is in their best interest that we ask who else needs to get their fingerprints on this or whatever it is, because we know that it's not going to go anywhere. If we don't let that happen, extend the sales cycle, it becomes a chase mode, and you're not going to hit your goal. I love the inversion thinking stuff, is that you just kind of, it's, we talk about a concept called bulletproofing your deal or bulletproofing your account, you know, bombproofing, and it allows you to kind of see the future of what could happen. What am I doing to mitigate that risk?
And so if in one circumstance, what we have is that to shorten the sales cycle, we're going to get to the decision maker. We're going to make that ask. Another situation I could see very much is that moving forward in this, we're going to make sure that we figure out what's the compelling event that's on the buyer's side of the equation that's going to drive them forward. Way too often, it's the seller that's bringing up what issue that they have. They're trying to get something done by the end of the quarter. Right. But the default rule then becomes is I'm going to focus on the buyer's pain for time. And what's that compelling point of leverage that exists?
Absolutely. Because if you're only focused on your compelling event, hitting your number for the quarter or whatever it happens to be, or hitting your goal, the next thing you know, you've lost that bit of leverage that you were just talking about. And they recognize that, and they ask for discounts, and they know that if they hold out to the end of the quarter or whatever it happens to be, we see it all the time. People try to, you know, give away the farm at the end of the quarter to make the number. But we could avoid all those things tactically by pre-deciding what we're going to do.
And so we've got these prevention strategies, these prevention rules that we've laid out that helps us avoid these particular mistakes.
Absolutely.
I know one for me is when I head downstairs to my basement in the morning, I can turn left to the gym. I can turn right to the big comfy couch. Okay. And so for me, that's a fork in the road right there. I'm going to turn left and I'm going to go to the treadmill and at least get 10 minutes in, which turns into a lot more than that.
Sure.
But right there, you pre-decide and you eliminate. So the inversion thinking allows someone to identify what are the holes that they're going to run into that's going to stop them from getting to the goal, and flip those things back around into strategies and rules that we're going to implement. And I think, you know, maybe the last piece to this is they have to be non-negotiable. Okay. I mean, they just have to be non-negotiable in the process.
No doubt. And I think you got to have a sense of accountability around it too. If you need some help, if there was somebody that, if all you did was have to text me at 5 o'clock in the morning, because you know we're both up at that time because we're crazy people. But, you know, if you had to text me every morning and said, I turned left again, there's probably a better likelihood that if I don't get a text from you by 5 o'clock in the morning, I know we don't do this, but if you had to text me at 5 o'clock,
start.
I turned left again to go to the treadmill rather than the couch.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a text from me at 5:15 say, are you sitting on the couch? You know, can you feel yourself getting fatter or whatever it happens to be, right? Needling you a little bit. That accountability, if you need it to gain momentum, I think that's part of it too. You know, you gotta pre-decide and you gotta have your rules in place. But if you need some help, that's part of the accountability and pre-decide what that looks like too.
And to me, Josh, that's public accountability.
Sure.
When you track something, when you measure something, that helps you be successful in it. When you make it public to other people, now you've got that need for approval from other people, and we're going to leverage that particular part of our behavioral psychology called need for approval to ultimately trigger us such that we're taking the right actions that get us closer to our goals and not the wrong actions where we just, you know, fail and somebody looks back on their year and say, well, another year of nice goals written out but not achieved.
No doubt. And it's when you put yourself in the future, a pain future, you'll do everything in your power. You're much more motivated to do something about that because you have a clear vision of what failure looks like.
Yeah.
And when you have, you know, you really think about it, a lot of times people have a hard time setting goals because they can't wrap their head around the vision. You know, they can easily wrap the, you know, and I made reference to it. They can easily wrap their head around what a vision of failure looks like. And it's easier to work from that spot of to get a clearer vision of what they have to do to avoid failure versus a clearer vision of exactly what I have to do to hit the goal. What are those prevention rules that I have to have in place, accountability, whatever happens to do, happens to be to make sure you hit it, to avoid that pain in the future, so to speak.
I was talking to my friend, John Rosso, who, you know, you and I are both very close friends with. Mm-hmm. And John said something to me the other day in a nice way. He said, you have such discipline in this particular area. And I said, man, I don't feel like I have any discipline there. And he said, well, why? I don't get it. And I said, well, all I do, it's I don't know that it doesn't feel like discipline to me at that moment. Mm-hmm. I just think to myself, how am I going to feel if I don't do this? And I bring that feeling that I'm going to have, and I just bring that future feeling into the present. And I don't really call that discipline, but that is fundamentally such a great resource to help somebody make a decision in the moment, because you're bringing the pain that you're going to suffer in the future and you're bringing it into the present right here, right now. And that just helps. I don't call that motivation or discipline. I just call it like a pain avoidance.
Yeah. So,
and what ends up happening through that is that when you make better choices in the moment and you behave in a certain way, you'll always feel better. Mm-hmm. Once you do that. And always our Sandler rule, never let the way you feel determine how you act. Let the way you act determine how you feel. So it's a wonderful framework and ties some things together here with inversion thinking. And I hope some folks can put these pieces together and really go think about what goals you have for the coming year, mm-hmm. flip them around and say, what's going to cause me to fail at this? And then create rules and strategies to help your brain be able to tackle them when you're in the moment and you're under pressure.
All of a sudden, you've got guardrails, and you know when you start banging up against the guardrails, you can kind of see it coming, right? It's the rumble strips before you actually hit the rail. So build some rumble strips into your life such that you don't do long-term damage by hitting the guardrails on the way to your goals. So rumble strips help a lot. And that's what these prevention rules, as I see them, really help us have, are those rumble strips toward our goals.
And so those things, along with tracking, personal accountability with other people, keeping your goals out in front of you, are all things that help make sure that we're going to hit our sales numbers and hit our goals, whatever they might be, personally or professionally in the coming year. So
no doubt.
As always, Mr. Pitchford, enjoyed the time with you, and I hope our listeners got a lot of great stuff.
I would encourage them to go look at their goals and just look at it. I completely flipped them on its end, and I hope it helped them out there. So thanks so much.